from Matthew chapter 4. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. In Jesus' name, beloved of God. Last month, during the Christmas break, one of the songs that you might have heard asked the question, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part." Well, today, as we see Jesus grown up and beginning his ministry, these words of Matthew suggest another if. If I were a fisher, like Peter or Andrew or James or John, what would I have then? If I were a fisher like them, I would have a Savior who could make me a fisher of men. For this Savior does not come with a demand, "Work hard, get good grades, and you can become fishers of men." But with a promise, "I will make you." Does that mean I could become a fisher of men, even if I don't do well in school? That's exactly what it means. And you could have a 4.0 through 4 years of high school and 7 years afterwards, and still not be a fisher of men. You have other good reasons for working hard during these years. But you don't have to be a preacher or a teacher to be a fisher of men. He alone can make you fishers of men. He alone can bring about the repentance that he calls for. Not merely some ceremonial repentance, but a radical 180-degree turn from trespass to trust, from sin to Savior God. For Jesus came preaching the same repentance that John had preached, calling not only prostitutes and tax collectors to repentance, but also the pious. He alone can turn us, and we will be turned. He alone can make us fishers of men. It was no accident that Peter and Andrew and James and John became apostles, was it? Witnesses for Christ, founders of the New Testament church. And it was not their sudden realization of some hidden potential within themselves. It was a new creation. His new creation. He did not promise to make them rich or famous or comfortable or even pleased with themselves. Their nets loaded with fish could bring them wealth, maybe even in their area fame, comfort and pleasure. So why leave their nets? Only because of the kingdom call. Jesus' word of forgiveness. "The kingdom of heaven is near you. Though you have not deserved it, God is ready to take you as his own, to rule for you, to make kings and priests of you, to turn everything to blessing for you, all because of the Savior standing in front of you." What a difference that kingdom call made. we used to begin our services with Psalm 124, verse 8, at least many of them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That also is a kingdom call. And whether it's spoken in the liturgy or not, it is through such an inviting call that He turns us 180 degrees to look to Him for all help, to repent, to confess our own unworthiness, and to receive His gracious forgiveness and life. In this way, Jesus makes us rich toward God, famous among the angels who rejoice over every sinner who repents. He gives us comfort that is joy to balance sadness in the disappointments and sorrows of this life and in the judgment to come. He declares His pleasure with us, even though we do not see Him hungry, do not see ourselves feeding Him, or thirsty, or sick, or in prison. Jesus gives us much to share with others along the way, doesn't He? As through the word of the apostles, those same apostles that He called by Galilee, He continues to gather redeemed souls unto Himself. In the days of the prophet Isaiah, the king was named Hezekiah. He got sick. He was about to die. The Lord, however, answered his prayer for more time and gave him 15 more years. Some emissaries from distant Babylon came to congratulate him on his remarkable recovery. And Hezekiah took them through the palace, showing off all his silver and golden treasures. Surely he had something better to share with them, didn't he? But when Isaiah heard about it, he told Hezekiah, "The Babylonians will be back. They'll come back one day and take all those treasures you showed them." But when the disciples showed us the treasures of Jesus' atoning death for our sins, they showed us a treasure which is inexhaustible. Where sin multiplies like a cancer, grace and forgiveness abounds even more. And this inexhaustible treasure means peace with God and eternal life. The same Isaiah prophesied, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." May God grant us both the grace to walk in the light and the opportunity to share that light with others. Stanzas 3 and 4.